Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Well, praise God. We're on Thursday, day four. Lord's been accomplishing a pretty cool thing in and through this group thus far this week. One of the things I want to mention as we sing some of these songs, because a lot of times these songs are based in the Word. Many times some of the songs we sing are actually psalms themselves right out of the Word. But a lot of times when we're singing them, we know that that which we're singing we have not yet attained. Okay, now rather than sing it when you're doing so as though you've already attained it when you know you haven't, sing it as a prayer. You know what I'm saying? Sing it as a prayer, a declaration of where you are going and what you want in the Lord. Amen? All right, let's have a good day. Praise God. I'm going to have Megan come up here first, and then I think James is going to go, because we got a house full of ministers here. And one thing I just want to say as I bring Megan up here, and it's true of each and every one of us, and I think if each of us look back, we'll see. And some, for some, it may be this very week that this has happened, which is cool. Praise God. The rest of us who it has happened at some time before, we have testimonies of what it has meant. And that is, we kind of go on our merry life and everything, and then one day we get confronted with Jesus, the truth. And a lot of times it sounds kind of strange. I mean, not like all of us instantaneously when we get confronted with that truth are like, all right, I'm ready to leave everything else behind. But when we receive, remember what was it? They received not the love of the truth. But when you receive the love of the truth, your life is changed. And it was interesting. For Megan, it happened coming to her sister's blessing of her wedding, which was an instance in which most of us at that point in time were thinking this was a kind of sketchy start for Rick and Sue over here. and yet the Lord redeemed in a mighty way, as he's done many. I mean, Phil and Hope, gosh, you guys started off perfectly right, didn't you? I mean, we could just go down through the line. But I remember Megan came there, and she saw in a Bible study that the question she had had for years all of a sudden got answered. And when she was leaving, she really decided she didn't want to leave. And what was interesting is when she prayed, when she got to England, the song we started with is the verse that the Lord, when she woke up, came to her mind. And it's made all the difference in the world. And that verse was, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And that has come to pass and set her on a radically different course than she had been on previously, as we have her mother here to testify and her sister over there to testify, and those of us who have known her all along can see. But it's been a course that has been a beautiful one to be a partaker of and to watch. And likewise, each of you here have that same testimony. Even if the beginning of that is today, and one of the beautiful things is, you know, beginnings are beautiful things. I mean, they bring tears to the eyes, tears of joy. And that song we were singing there, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and those kinds of things. I mean, I can tell you when the Lord brought me Megan, and it was before she got over here, and I knew we were getting married. I mean, I'll tell you what, our neighbors, everybody in the neighborhood, anybody I came into contact with, no matter where I was, knew I was getting married. And knew I was rather excited about that fact. I mean, I'd have the windows open, and I'd be up there just praising the Lord, dancing around, like free. And just crazy and fact that I had a bad voice didn't bother me any. I don't know what anybody else thought about it. Nobody complained, so praise God. But I didn't care. I didn't care. We sang that song, I Will Praise Like David Praised. You know, when David praised, the description in the scriptures of him leaping and dancing and exposing himself in the midst of his just utter joy. Amen. Just joy unspeakable. And that's where the Lord wants us to be, not in the sense that that's all we do. I mean, that wasn't David's entire life was doing that. But you have those times and opportunities pretty much every day. I mean, you can leap for joy at the sun rising and you being given another day. You can leap for joy at what he's brought you through at the end of the day. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, we have it before us all the time because he is always with us. That's his promise. He will not depart from us. We've done some pretty stupid things, haven't we? Did he depart from us? Did he give up on us? So let us remember that, and let that testimony that the Lord has given each of us be a part of what propels us forward in that grace. Because when you look back at it, you can look back at it and see in every instance, what did you do to deserve it? Nothing. So why are you trying to deserve it now? If you got the good things without deserving it before, what makes you think you got to deserve it now? Stupidity, pride, as Ricky says over here. Let's leave that stuff behind. Amen. Amen.
Morning. I don't know about anybody else, but you know, sometimes you have a word that comes to you that is liberating. One of them, some years ago when Davey was doing revivals in New England, was the seed and the sower. Our job is not to go and check out the hearts of people. Our job is to sow the seed, which is the gospel. And you know, when we look at a person, we can look at their face and be, you know, Brad, the other day? There was a conversation about what went down at Rick's house with Lisa. Lisa walked out and Brad said, I thought that went rather well. And everyone else is thinking, we'll never see her again. You know, we can't look at someone's face and presume what's in their heart. Because what's in their heart may be, you're out of your mind, I'm right, you're wrong, whatever. You got to let the word work in the heart of a person. And so, just sow the seed. The seed is the gospel. And that was really cool because you don't have to sow Ephesians 1. You don't have to sow Revelation or Isaiah or Jeremiah or, you know, some great mystery that you've heard of maybe or don't get. You just have to sow the gospel. And that was one of the really liberating things for me. Another has this week been, you're not worthy, so give up trying. You know, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It starts with, delight yourself in the Lord. When you make it your delight to do his will, he will bring it to pass. We had talked about fear this week a little. And it's easy to be fearful when you look at yourself. Because you see, well, I see. I can't speak for you. Davey said last night, I have no idea what's in your heart, but I can speak for me. I look at me and, you know, generally speaking, I find I fall short. I open my mouth, I make some enormous noise, and I walk away thinking, oh, just shut me up. But you know what? We can't be afraid. Proverbs is full of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in Proverbs 8, there's a little verse that actually says what the fear of the Lord is. It's verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what the fear of the Lord is. We're not told to fear anything else. We're not told to fear anybody else. We're told to fear the Lord. And what that is, what it looks like, is to hate evil. Pride. It's all about me. Arrogancy. Still all about me. And I'm better than everybody else. The evil way. I mean, that's the flesh. The evil way. Anything that takes us away from the Lord, that does not agree with His word, which is true. And the froward mouth. Anything I'm told, I have a better answer to. I need to change it. Rather than just hearing it and doing it as it's said. I have four little examples of how that looks. Go and do this. Well, I think I'll do it that way. I have four: Joseph, Samuel, Ruth, and Abigail. The froward mouth. How often do we have that? I was thinking about it just yesterday, writing down a note in the service of something that either Davey or Steve said. And I looked at the words that I had written down and I thought, that's not what they said. I did not write what they said. I wrote what I got from it or what I interpreted from it. I did not write what they said. That's not a good thing. Yes, you're right. Not a good thing. So the fear of the Lord is to hate that, to prefer Him, to prefer to hear as it's said and go do it as it was said, not as your mind interpreted it, you know? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding. It is doable because His word says to do it. Therefore, we have no excuse. He's given us all things that we need to do His will.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. I was reading the scripture this morning. I was reading the scripture this morning. Thank you, Steve. You know, we've all made promises here in front of the Lord and about bringing people in next year. And we can't take that lightly. And I was reading in Matthew 25, and I think I'm going to hit on the last person, the one that got one talent. Verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where there hast not sown, and gathering where there hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that it is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. There oughtest thou for to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. I know for myself, I feel I've been that one. Have I brought people here? Have I brought people to even the Lord in Georgia? No, I haven't. And that's going to change. It's time, you know, Davey said get in or get out. It's time for us all to make sure we're in. And, you know, and God has given us everything we need to do that. God has given us everything we need to do that. Thanks again, Steve. You know, Bob had hit on that yesterday. You know, we come here to fill our tanks. Our tanks should be full. We have it right here. This is at my house every day. Why am I here filling my tank? And if you turn to Matthew 18, it's speaking of a servant's Lord here who had forgiven him his debt. And if we're going to bring people in, we need to do the same. You know? It says in 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. 28, but that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Does that sound like somebody that thinks they're less than the person they're going to minister to? I don't think so. It probably sounds like me, which I need to, you know, I need to get over that. Or it has sounded like me, I should say. And, you know, that's not how we're going to share the gospel with people if we go out and judge them or think that we're better or they're not worthy. You know, as Megan said, the sower, he didn't look where he was sowing. He just threw the seed. You know, and there's people out there that the Lord, I believe Davey said, has ordained to hear. If we go out and judge the people, we're probably missing the people that are ordained to hear. Amen. So, you know, we need to do exactly what it says here, you know, for have compassion on people, regardless of what, you know, put our carnal man off in his thoughts and only do what the Lord has for us, and that's to share his gospel.
Praise God. You know, one of the biggest fears I think we face, and is we face this fear that which God has promised, he will not be able to perform in us. And I say that, you know, it says with Job, I mean, we know in the story of Job that what came on Job came on him because, as his testimony was, that which I most greatly feared has come to pass. We were talking earlier this week, David was saying, how many people, you know, believe that God can heal the person next to him? Everybody raised their hands. How many people believe that God can do this for everybody? How many people believe that God will do it for you? We all stop. Well, that's one fear that needs to be gone. I mean, that fear has to be cast as far behind you as east is from west. That fear can have no place in your life because, as Carter said the other night, all the promises of God are yes and amen. I mean, if you want to be a mighty minister of God, then yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. And anything less than that, you get shed of. Because yes and amen is the only answer that'll suffice. When you read the word and you see an area where you fall short, ask. I mean, how hard is that?
Oh, I can't believe I'm so miserable. I don't do that right. I'll never get that right. I see those people, they get it, but not me.
Anybody ever had a pity party like that? Yeah. I mean, we got to get rid of these pity parties. We got to get rid of this stuff. I mean, none of this stuff should have any place in our life. Any place. These are the things you cast away. You just break through. There is nothing. You know, I will run through a troop. I will leap over a wall. I mean, isn't that what we've just been singing and stuff like that? I mean, there is nothing can prevail against the Word of God. Nothing. I mean, look how far he's brought us. I mean, there's not a one of us who are here because of our own selves. There's not a one of us who've made it here and made it this distance, no matter how many years it's been, has made it here on our own. I mean, not one. Not one. Every single one of us are here only because of the Lord. And the beautiful thing that's knit us together and is knitting us together is that the Lord has allowed one another to be a part of His ministry unto each other. He's allowed us to be a part of that. None of us are it. You know, without Him, I can do nothing. Okay, so what part of it is it that's us? The bad part. I mean, that's an easy answer. The bad part. The good stuff all comes down from the Father of lights. Amen. Right? So when we get to partake of it, rejoice. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Rejoice. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Because look what we get to offer. Garbage. And yet each of us have had the opportunity to offer something. I mean, even a hug between Edmund and Tristan is an offering of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Something as simple as a hug. So I want to get Davey up here because he gave me a little peek into what he was talking, and I want to go there at all so that he can do it all. So, but praise God. Let's receive. Let us go forward. Let us get shed of every fear. And if you need, I had somebody come up to me just before, Steve, you got a minute? I said, yeah. Took less than a minute, it turned out. They wanted prayer. All right? There's nothing wrong with coming up to somebody and going, you know what? I got a problem. Will you pray with me? Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. It humbles you, confessing your faults one to another. Right? And where two or more are gathered together in His name, there I am in the midst of them. So you're no longer alone. You get together with somebody, you join hands, you pray. Let's tear down every stronghold. So that when we go forth from here into the world will no longer have a hold over us. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? No longer have a hold over us. We can go into the world, but not be of the world. And it's in that place that people can see that the gospel is true. Because they see someone who has overcome by their deservedness. Right. So in other words, after the flesh, you may not look the part. But for those, I'll tell you what, who are looking for a way out, they will see. They're the ones who God has ordained. The ones who aren't, they might be those who God has ordained. I was one of them, so praise God He managed to get through to me, notwithstanding myself. So don't be that ground inspector out there. I wasn't giving ground inspection or heart inspection guidelines there. Just cast that seed out there. Amen? Amen. But we'll see. If it's the thing.
Yeah, the thing about our angels. The one about our Romans. I thought it was Hebrews you said.
Oh, Hebrews.
Yeah, I think you said Hebrews. So what you said didn't seem to be where it was. We'll find it.
Yeah, praise the Lord, everybody. We'll get Ann back up on Skype because she got dropped. All right. This is Thursday. Hallelujah. It's been a good week. And we've learned some stuff and we've made some moves. And now we're going to go into where you go from here. Where you go from here is you go out and you preach the gospel. Now I want to read something out of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Because Paul sets out here what he did with them when he first went there. See, he didn't try to preach them the great mysteries of the pre-Adamic race or catching away or the pre-trib, mid-trib, and he didn't try to preach all that stuff and about the elect and all. He preached what was necessary. It says here, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He didn't come out there and try to intellectually convince them that God was right and Jesus was right. Don't try to match wits with people. Amen? Amen. They may find you have prepared. Doesn't happen with me, but it might happen with you. All right, beloved Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
"For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, did Paul not know anything else? Of course not. He knew. He had all the mysteries of God. God had given him all the mysteries. When he got up from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and went out in the desert places around Damascus, he spent 3.5 years out there, God filling him with all the mysteries. He had it all. He went back to Jerusalem and met with the apostles that had been out there with Jesus and walked with him, and they couldn't tell him one single thing that God had not shown him. In fact, Peter even admits later on in some of his writings that God showed Paul stuff that Peter didn't even know. So God had given Paul the mysteries of Jesus Christ and what he was about to do, laid it all out for him. But when Paul went to Corinth, he determined to know only one thing: Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when you go out from here, that's what you are to know. In the past, people would go out and they'd try to preach and they'd try to teach things they didn't have a handle on. It wasn't given to them to know. And let me tell you something, it's not given to those people out there to know. You go and you read Paul's letters. You read the letter to the book of Ephesians, to the church of Ephesians. Let's look at that real quick, Ephesians. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." Anywhere in there mentioning unbelievers? Not at all. When Paul talked to Timothy, he said, "Give it to faithful men," didn't he? Give this stuff to faithful men. You don't take the good things of God and throw it to the dogs. They'll turn on you. You don't take the mysteries of God and give it to the world. You give Jesus to the world. Because when you go out trying to preach the mysteries, you're just glorifying yourself. You're just trying to make people look at you and see you know more than they know. And you may know more than they know. But what good is it to know more than they know if your pride makes you go to hell? It just means you go to hell knowing more than the rest of them did. And what good is that? They're going to make you feel good sitting in a burning hell saying, "I know more than you do." Who cares? It's hot down here. Amen. But what I want you to go forth and preach Jesus and him crucified. And then when God picks those that are to know, then God will determine the time they are to know. All right? Let's go back. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but how? In demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What do you think is going to impress somebody more, Rick? You go out there and say, hey, man, did you know there was a world before Adam? And that these dudes were running around on it and everything, and Lucifer got cast down and they were all destroyed. Now, that's going to really impress some people. Or, do you know Jesus Christ died for your soul, for your sins, and he has the power to raise you up from the dead and to show you that? Be healed in the name of Jesus. What do you think is going to impress them more? The second one, isn't it? And if you take what you've learned here this week and add what you're going to learn the rest of this week, and you do this, and you do it with the right attitude, with the right spirit, the humble spirit of a servant seeking to serve his or her master, which is Jesus Christ, not to glorify yourself, not to raise yourself up, not to try to show people how good you are, but if you go forth quietly and listen, it's a lot easier to hear when it's quiet than when there's a lot of noise. And if you're talking, you can't hear. Amen? But you go out listening for the Lord, and the Lord will direct your path, and the Lord will lead you to the people to talk to, and he will lead you to tell them about Jesus Christ and him crucified. In that you may share the great things God has done for you. If God's healed you, tell them about it. If God's delivered you from something, tell them about it. If you've seen God do something in your life or a loved one's life, tell them about it. But it's what God's done, is what Jesus done. It's not about what you do. Tell them about Jesus Christ and him crucified and what it means to the world and what it means to you and to them as well. And be ready. Be ready to stand out in faith and pray. To pray for people. Well, I'm afraid nothing will happen. So what if it doesn't happen? I can just see it now. Jesus Christ healing the lepers. Amen. And the blind eyes opening. Oh, hallelujah. And all this great stuff. And he goes home and he starts preaching. And he prays for someone and nothing happens. He hangs his head and he says, well, I guess that's screwed up. God don't love me anymore. I might as well quit. Where would we have been? Where would we be now if that happened? If Jesus got discouraged because in his hometown he couldn't do any miracle except heal a few sick folk. I mean, you stop and think about it. You're going out here in the world and you're popping healing and power and demonic spirits are running away and all the power of God is going on, and then you go home and nothing happens. How that would make you want to quit. Right? It'd make me want to quit. But it's not about you. It's not about me. And if Jesus could face that and go on and do the will of the Father, then so can we. You know why? Because we have not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. We have not been given the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. When you go out there, you don't go out there with the spirit of the world. You go out there with the Spirit of God. You don't go out there with a man with a mind of the world. You go out there with the mind of Christ. And you preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And you know what happens then? He makes you ministers of fire. Amen. And as ministers of fire, nothing can stand before you. Not sickness, no devil, nothing. They come against you, 10,000 come at you as one, and they leave all scattered apart. You understand what I'm saying? You gotta get down. You gotta get down. You gotta get focused. Get focused. Get mad at sin. Get mad at the devil. Get mad at the old man. And glorify Christ and glorify the Father. And I've been in places, man, I'll tell you, where it's been rough. I've had devils come against me, and so you can't do anything. Yeah, I can. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And they'd come back at me again, and I'd start preaching the word to them, and they'd leave. And I'd love to remind them where they're going. I love to remind them where they're going. And I'm not going there by the will of God and by His grace and power. He's given me a promise. He's given me a promise, and I'm going to hold Him to it. Are you going to hold Him to it? Did Jesus Christ promise you eternal life? Did He promise you the power of the Holy Ghost? Did He promise you a sound mind? Amen. Did He promise you His love? Amen. Are you going to hold Him to it? Amen. Then hold Him to it. Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes I've been in places where I've turned and said, wait a minute, Lord, help me here. You said so and so and so and so. What's up with some of this? Of course, I thought about it later. Oh, man. Did I really do that? But sometimes God lets you get to that point just to see what you're going to do. So you know what you're going to do. That was talked about earlier this week. You don't know what you're going to do in any given situation until it comes up. You like to think you know what you do. I mean, these guys brought this girl to me one time. Two guys about the size of Bob bring up this little girl. She was about 4'8". Didn't weigh 100 pounds. And they brought her to me one time. Fred Trent and I were at the office. They brought her down. So this girl has a demon. We want you to pray for her. So I started to pray, and all of a sudden this girl took these two guys, one hand each, and threw them. Now you're standing there, and you weigh a whopping 135 pounds yourself. And you see these guys over 200 pounds getting tossed by a little girl. What do you do? You go, whoa. I had to look at that for a minute. And then she put her eyes on me, and they looked like little snake beady eyes. And she said, I'm coming for you. And I said, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And she went down on the floor and started slithering like a snake, sticking her tongue out and everything, and cursing and blaspheming. And I rebuked that spirit, that witchcraft. That's what it was, witchcraft. Rebuked that spirit of witchcraft, and when it came out, you could hear it go out through the neighborhood. Oh, I figured the cops were coming in, for sure. There was so much racket and noise, I just knew they were going to have the cops come. And you know what was interesting? Nobody outside the building heard a thing. But you've got to be steeled. You've got to be ready. And the way you be ready is you hold God to his promises. You hold him to him. But that means also he's going to hold you to your promise. And your promise is to serve God any way he wants you to. Amen? Whether it be in riches or in poverty. Whether it be in fullness or in emptiness, whatever it is, you're to glorify God in whatever state you're in. And you glorify God in a small state, and he'll let you glorify him in a greater state. But don't go out of here trying to preach stuff that the unbeliever isn't given. God didn't give it to him. When you go forth and you read Romans and 1st, 2nd Corinthians and Ephesians, all those are letters to the church. Those are letters to the believers. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. I used to wonder why it said creature. Why didn't it say every man? And me, I was a little different than most people. I take the word literally. When I started out in the ministry, I went out and I preached to cows, horses, birds, ducks, frogs, whatever would stand around and listen. And I learned later on, yeah, that was good practice, because there's a lot of people out there that act like the southbound of a northbound horse. And there are some people out there that kind of resemble pigs and frogs and lizards and such. So by preaching all this stuff, it gave me practice. Now, some people say, you're crazy. That's just pure stupid. Well, so be it. That's what I did anyway. And it worked for me. People walk by and say, what are you doing preaching to that frog? Want me to preach to you? You never know. It might work. Worked for me. People walk by, what in the world are you doing? Preaching to that cow. He's listening, would you? Yeah, preach to your dog. Yeah, there you go. Let him hear what you're telling. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you know he died for my sins? Do you know he didn't have to die for your sins, you old dog, because you don't have none? But my husband, he do. The old dog about that time go whoop whoop. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Go forth. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong in the might of the Lord. Be strong in the power of God. Go forth with the Spirit and with the mind of Christ. And when you're out there in the public, you preach Jesus Christ, him crucified. And God will move. Remember, signs follow the believers because it was what? Backing up the word they preached. Wasn't backing them up. It was backing the word up. See? You go out there and preach the gospel and you pray for the sick. If your gospel is true, God will back it up. If it's not true, you better go re-examine your gospel. Amen? And the motive. I'm done.